Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, my guest today is a reoccurring guest. Her name is Ruth King, the Profitability Master. She helps small businesses get and stay profitable with systems and processes and build wealth. She's also the author of the book, Profit or Wealth. And there is a big difference. Ruth King. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you were on the show, and I really thoroughly enjoyed the conversation that we had, and I've invited you back. Don't blow it, okay, lady?
All right, I am trying not to blow it.
You know what? I don't usually do this very often because there's so many people trying to get on the show, and I want to give everybody their fair share. But at the end of the day, this is Entrepreneur Magazine's radio show. It's Entrepreneur Weekly. We have to help businesses get and stay profitable. And that's what you do. And so I thought, you know what? Every so often, you're going to have an idea. You're going to throw it at me. And you did. She kind of did a softball, like, here, try this one. How about owners and managers that are afraid of their employees? I went, yes, that's a good one. That's a good one. Owners.
But it's so true. It is so true. There are so many owners who are so afraid of their employees.
I know. I've been one of them. Believe me. And you know why? Because, and let me clarify. It's not because I'm afraid of this or that person, this guy or that woman, because I know I can take them, all right? Let's go out in the parking lot and fight. Come on. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about because of the ripple effect. The ripple effect outward to their family and their life and their world, and the ripple effect inward to the company, because I've had employees that have done fantastic work. The work ethic and the job they did was fantastic, but the personality was rotten or toxic or bad or something that was so difficult to deal with that no matter how good the work was, it made it almost impossible. Like, I become afraid to go to work or into that person's office or whatever it is. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is my business. So let's talk about this. I think there's a lot of me's out there.
And I've done the same thing. I find one of two things normally happens is they're afraid of, you know, like a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. You've heard that statement many, many, many times. And the fear of the unknown, if this person leaves and somebody has to do their work, and how am I going to find somebody to replace them, you know, and those types of things. What I strongly suggest that company owners do is they start looking for their replacement before they fire the person.
Right.
And I've done this a lot. Yeah, the joke when I start working with small businesses, in one particular instance, everybody but one person, and this was a company of probably close to 30 people, was gone within a year of when I started working with that company. Whew. And the company now is doing phenomenally well. And the owner said, I just didn't want to deal with it. I didn't want to deal with the fallout. I didn't want to deal with the crap or, you know, everything else that goes with that. But we found the people to do the work.
Yeah.
And I also find that in the case of a person who has been doing something that's really good with a company, that everybody knows that this person should be gone long before you make the decision as an owner to let them go. And they have a tendency to rally around and pick up the slack for the person who might have been this phenomenal person, but he was, you know, a real pain in the ass, or she was a real pain in the ass to deal with. And I find more often that everybody picks up the slack and says, what can I do to help, until you find that the right person to be in that position.
You know, it's everywhere. It's everywhere in almost every business. I don't care how good your business is. There is a toxic person right now that is making your job more difficult and taking away your joy of ownership, of business ownership, because of the fear that we live in, because of that ripple effect that we're so afraid of, like you said. Let me take a break. I want to talk about this on the other side. This song is called Axe to Grind. Okay. So, and believe me, I don't have any skeletons in my closet, so I have no reason not to just go, all right, you're fired. But I love my employees, even the bad ones. I want to fix them. And maybe that's the problem. We'll talk about that on the other side. Ruth King joining us. ProfitorWealth.com is her website. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
You know, I've had employees that it was like I would be with them for a day and it was like a week. It just seemed like it would never get over. It's like, I can't wait to get away from this person, but I don't want to fire them. I don't want to get rid of them. No, because who's going to do their job? I've finally gotten to the point where, and it was really just recently, where I had to let somebody go. And it's like, I'm willing to accept the responsibility of that things are going to hit the ground. I just haven't had the time or energy or whatever to find somebody because I'm weird. I like to like my employees. Anyway, so this job is still yet to be filled. We're trying to fill this job and we're dealing with the ripple effect, Ruth. Ruth King joining us. Her book is Profit or Wealth. And her website is the same, profitorwealth.com. And she does help small businesses to get and stay profitable with systems and processes and help them build wealth. So what have I done wrong here? I mean, am I just like everybody else that's an entrepreneur, a business person? I mean, why are we afraid, Ruth? Maybe you've dissected this before.
I have. And I think, first of all, fear is finding evidence against reality. That's what fear, at least in my book, stands for. And I can't remember where I heard it the first time, but it was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're afraid of what's going to happen and it may never happen.
Right.
And that's one thing. The second thing is that whether we like it or not, no employee is ever going to work as hard as the owner. No employee is going to be as dedicated to the company as the owner and founders. You, for all intents and purposes, and it took me a long time to learn this, for all intents and purposes, a contract with your employees, and whether it's in writing like it is in union situations and stuff like that or not, you agree to pay them X. They agree to do Y for those X dollars. If they are not doing Y for those X dollars, you need to have a conversation with them about it. If they are causing problems in your organizations, you have to document it and talk to them about it. I think a lot of the fear is in having a conversation with an employee who is not doing their job. I mean, when you're doing performance reviews and everything is going really, really well, I mean, that's a piece of cake. When you're doing a performance review, maybe in the middle of the year because they screwed up horrendously, then those are the tough things and the tough conversations that you absolutely have to have. And you make it so that it's not emotional. You make it so, okay, here's what happened from my perspective, or here's what happened from the customer's perspective, or here's what happened from an employee's perspective. What's the situation from your perspective? And you have a give and take in there because they may not know that they're screwing up, or in your case, they maybe think they're doing a phenomenal job, but they're just a pain in the ass to work with and nobody wants to work with them. But that needs to be brought out. And I would suggest you have a conversation never, ever, ever by yourself when you're doing a tough conversation. The other person can sit in the corner of the room and not say a word, but it gives you some confidence to keep going. And also, I've had some situations, no joke, where a guy got fired and he beat up the manager who was firing him because he was the only one in the room, and the guy ended up in the hospital. So my rule is never in a tough situation will you have only one person in that conversation with the person you're talking to. It's too dangerous. You know, in this day and age, you never know what somebody's going to do and spout off or, you know, pull a gun on somebody or, you know, who knows? You might be in an area where they allow guns or, you know, it's just too dangerous to let one person talk about a negative thing and be the only one in the room.
You said fear stands for what?
Finding evidence against reality.
What about find a reason to say you're fired? But that find a reason to would be fart. So that wouldn't work. So I'm trying to figure out something here that we could use for finding a reason to fire somebody and just say you're fired. Can you just say you're fired anymore? Or do you have to like have all, you know, because of the legal world that we live in? Look, Donald Trump had his TV show, you're fired. Can you even do that anymore? I'm just curious.
In some states, yes, if you're in a what's called a right-to-work state. In some states, you cannot because there is a procedure you have to follow when you're firing somebody.
Which is called, again, F-A-R-T, finding a reason to. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. But in a lot of states, like in Georgia where I live, I can fire you because I don't like the shirt that you wore in the morning.
Oh, I'm moving to Georgia right now.
Get out of the smoke in, in Portland.
I'm on the other side of the state of Oregon. So we do have smoke, but it's because they've been having some forest fires and stuff. But yeah, I know. I think the whole country is getting different. You know, the smoke is wafting, you know, from Minneapolis that way and, you know, Chicago that way and Portland, Oregon that way. There's crazy stuff going on all over. Ruth King, hold on. Let me take a break. Again, ruthking.info if you want to find her, or profitorwealth.com, or you can find her book, Profit or Wealth, available at, I'm sure, ruthking.info. And bookstores everywhere.
It is. Okay. And bookstores everywhere.
We'll be right
and
back.
Amazon and everybody else.
That's awesome. All right, so we're talking about owners and managers afraid of their employees. A big subject. Stay with us.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
On the line with us is Ruth King. She is the profitability master and author of Profit or Wealth. She has a company, Business Ventures Corporation, and she helps get and stay profitable. Small companies get and stay profitable with systems and processes and build wealth. We're talking about owners and managers afraid of their employees. But let me give it a little twist. What about, like, I own a plaza, and I have 28 units in this plaza, and there's one guy that walks around. He has a, not a concealed weapon, but literally he has a gun on his hip at all times. And it's very, very intimidating. And I think part of it is because the business that they do got, you know, a lot of money, a lot of cash changes hands. And so, you know, I mean, we live in a small town, USA, and but I feel intimidated by this guy constantly. And so it puts me in a situation where when I feel intimidated, I don't want to be around people like that, that intimidate me. Now, it's not because of his gun, because I happen to be a gun guy. I like guns. But I just feel like it's the look on his face. It's his attitude that is a bit toxic. And the ripple of energy that comes out from him is negative. And I think to myself, I don't want that in my world. In other words, I own this little piece of land. It's my sovereign piece of land. And I don't want troublemakers or people that have negative or bad energy, or bring others that have negative or bad energy into my, you know, into my nuclear family, if I can call it like that, my nuclear business family, right? So I feel like, look, I'm a guy 60 years old. I could take care of myself. But I think that a lot of people have, there's a lot of psychology that are working on us, afraid to speak up because somebody will give you that look. If you know what they say, if looks could kill, you know, it's like people and employees do that to each other too. You know, there's an ecosystem of hierarchy in businesses. And so it talks about owners and managers. So maybe you don't own the business. Maybe you're just a manager. What do people do? Where do you think people could start to solve this problem of living in fear like that?
What I would do if it were me, all right, let's take your gun guy. Is he paying his rent?
He pays his rent right on time. It's his mother's business, by the way. She pays the rent, and I like her.
Okay. All right, so she pays the rent, and the son is the pain in the butt, right?
Yep.
Is he causing problems for other tenants?
I think the only problem is, everybody always says, you know, what is it with that guy? It's the energy. It's like it ripples off of him. He's got a chip on his shoulder. I don't know what happened in his life, but he walks around life. And there are a lot of people like this. They don't have to have a gun. You know, it doesn't matter. They ripple out negative energy. It's toxic.
Yep. Okay. So if the other people who you've rented to start complaining, then you've got to do something about it. If not, you kind of put him in a bubble and you let him deal with what he's dealing with. And, you know, as long as they're paying the rent, it's not a fun situation. You ever stop paying the rent, then it would be a totally different situation. But, you know, he has his right to be a jerk if he wants to be a jerk. As long, you know, he's basically living up to his part of the bargain.
Right.
You rented him space and he paid for it.
I hate it when you're right. Yeah. It's the same thing my wife said. Oh, I don't know. Maybe it's the, you know, the two roosters, you know, it's like, you know, we're both, and he's, you know, we're both posturing towards each other because a little something happened about the trash or something. And I confronted him and man, every time we see each other, it's like, so, you know, I mean, yes,
that's okay.
I probably
ignore
have to, I probably have to look at my own self in that point. Good
yeah,
point.
Just totally ignore it. He's paying his rent. He's doing what he's supposed to. And it's done. Yeah. If he stops paying his rent, we have something else we got to talk about.
Right.
But as long as they're paying its rent, it's on time, and he's not bothering anybody. There's a thing, and I don't know whether it's in Oregon law, but there's a thing in Georgia law called quiet enjoyment, where somebody is allowed to use their space as long as they are not infringing on other neighbors or anything like that and being obnoxious and rude. He can go about his business as long as he's paying his rent, and he could be a jerk. It's okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you and my wife. Go ahead. Keep going.
All right. And then you brought up the thing about, all right, let's assume it's a first-time manager and the person has been, you know, part of the team for all intents and purposes. And all of a sudden they go from the team environment to being the manager. The first thing that this person has to learn is they can't be friends with their former teammates. They can be friendly and should be friendly, but they can't be friends anymore. Because they now have higher fire authority over them, and
right.
that totally changes the relationship. And his former friends will test him to see whether he will follow procedure. And if he, the first time he does not follow procedure, he's in trouble because his management style and everybody will start taking advantage of him and those types of things. So it can be very, very, very lonely as you go get advanced from being part of the team and part of the group, so to speak, to being elevated and being a manager. You got to go find new friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guys you used to drink with on Friday nights or go out and bowl or whatever you're doing, you're not doing that anymore.
See that? There's always a solution. And all you have to do is have somebody that's been there and done that, like Ruth King. She is known as the Profitability Master, author of the book Profit or Wealth, and she does help people in business get and stay profitable with systems and processes. If you want to reach her, you can find her at ruthking.info or profitorwealth.com on the web. You've done it again, Ruth. Nice job.
Thank you.
I'm going to go get my gun and put it in my holster and go have a showdown with the guy right at my parking lot. Come on.
He's allowed to have quiet enjoyment as long as he's paying his rent and not harassing anybody.
Mine's going to have bubbles coming out the end. All right. Entrepreneur Weekly will be right back with more. Well, I want to make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come.
Here's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is now time for me to bring on my supernaturally brilliant friend. His name is David Corbin. He's the president and chief illumination officer at his company Performance Technology Group. You can find him at davidcorbin.com on the web. This man is a Wall Street best-selling author. He's got a list of books. I just want to read them off because you can see where his mind is. Psyched on Service, The Marketing Mentality. That's the first one. Change Victim to Change Master, the second one. Illuminate, Harnessing the Positive Power of Negative Thinking. I love that one. Number four, Point Count, From Image to Influence. Number five, Preventing Brand Slaughter. Many of us do that. Also, my friend David Corbin, I love him. He has won the 2020 International Healthcare Design Award for Innovation for his Rejuvenation Station. How you doing, David?
I'm fantastic. Hey, I love that music. It's so San Diego. It's beach music.
Totally. Hey, by the way, I'll be in San Diego on Sunday for about an hour. I'm going to drive 1,000 miles to pick up a tractor. So I might come by and see you just to show you my tractor. But anyway.
Stop by for 13 seconds, and I'll show you my latest acquisition, my 51-year-old 69 Datsun Roadster.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so, you know, look, we are in an odd, perilous time. And it's only going to get weirder as we go forward. And the election is literally, it's within sight. There's a pandemic. There is too many numerous problems in this world. And, you know, people, I don't know if you've heard some of the numbers. And let me just rattle a few off and I'm going to just round them up or down. But evidently there's been like 400,000 businesses go out of business this year, much of which are small businesses, which small business, you know, employ 85% of the people that have lost their jobs. So, and I don't know if those numbers are right. I read them, but I was like, holy crap. The country is, you know, committing brand slaughter lately. But it's because of this virus, and maybe God knows how it's being handled. And history will show later on who or who didn't handle it right. We're not going to get into that. But let's just talk business for a minute. What is a guy or gal to do in business these days with these severe times, David?
Well, the first thing is you pull in the reins, you go, whoa, and you stop, and you breathe, and you center yourself. That must come first. That must come first. Now, it's easy to say, not so easy to do. It must come first, because none of the people listening here are entrepreneurs, businessmen, businesswomen, lawyers. No, 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 no. They're individuals, they're spiritual beings playing the role of business. So, take care of your greatest asset, that is you. Slow it down, and then go into the process. Okay,
yep.
Where am I at? Where's the business at? Now, 9 out of 10 are going to say, I'm where I'm at is I'm sitting right here, and where's the business at? The business is going down the toilet. Okay, okay, okay. How are you physically? So I say, get down to the basics, okay? We get down to root cause analysis, etc. Then we look at illuminating, which is, look, my book talks about we can't solve everything we face, but we can't solve anything unless we face it. And I teach face it, follow it, and fix it. So what are we facing right now? What are we facing? Then follow it. What's causing it? What's keeping it alive? Follow it into the future. What happens if I don't take action? And then you get to work on reducing the power of that or eliminate it. So I say first stop and then illuminate.
Yeah. This is what I love about you, because you break it down into the simplest form. Because when a person is panicking, they don't do anybody any good. I learned in life saving, because I grew up on the beach, like you're in San Diego right now, and I thought, I want to be able to save somebody's life. And the first thing they teach you is when a person is panicking, they will take you down with them. So you have to approach them very carefully. And I think that's what we have to look at our own, gosh, our own selves that way. We have to say, all right, well, what do I got to do? Well, how do you tell yourself to calm down? Well, hopefully we can find that, you know, that moment of clarity and say, I've got to do something. David Corbin is saying it right. Calm yourself down. Face it, follow it, and fix it. But that's a process in itself, too. Your book, probably the one Illuminate, Harnessing the Positive Power of Negative Thinking. Can we talk about that for a minute? What does that mean, harnessing the positive power of negative thinking? How do you do that?
Well, we want to illuminate the negative. We want to look at, let's say, for example, this pandemic you talked about. I hadn't heard about it, but I understand there is one.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, when we hear about it, we need to point our nose at it and face it. We can't deny it. We can't downplay it. We must illuminate it. We have to face it. We have to follow it. Well, what happens if this happens, if this really happens? What's going to happen to small business, large business? What's going to happen to the marketplace? What's going to happen to all these different things? And then we can begin the process of fixing it. But we can't until we face it. We have to face it. And some of the people, politics aside, didn't face it. They didn't face it head on. I knew they wouldn't. So I shorted the market and And in 1 month, I made a little over $3 million shorting the market. But that's a different story. But that's the application of illuminating.
Right.
So I made more money by illuminating, and that's how I do my inventions, than I did with book sales. That's for darn sure. But, you know, the individual or the author who doesn't live by his or her message is hypocritical. So it's all about, look, positive power of negative thinking. You know I'm a positive guy, Alan.
Yes.
And most people, when they saw the book, gosh, you know, here's the most positive guy writing a book about negative thinking. What's up with that, man? Who hacked you? Well, the truth is, I've read all the positive mental attitude literature books, the PMA series, and I got to share conversations with Dr. Norman Vincent Peale in my career and Earl Nightingale and others. But, you know, nowhere in the positive mental attitude literature does it say ignore negative situations. But most people, sadly, they want to take the easy way out. And they go, oh, okay, well, there's a negative situation. I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to go right into the positive mental attitude. And I'm like, you know what? If that sore on your hand looks like a, God forbid, a melanoma, don't put a Band-Aid over it, baby. You look at it carefully. You illuminate it. And then let the doctor come in and illuminate it with a radiation, you know?
Right.
But we've got to get real. We've got to get real. So breathe and illuminate. And by the way, you can't breathe in the future, and you can't breathe in the past. You can only breathe in the present. So when you really focus in on your breath, you will stay present. And it's interesting. Some of the anxiety just sort of melts away, which is great. Then and only then are you the best you to begin the process of illumination. Make sense?
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And all I can say is we need this. We need guys like this. I love myself some David Corbin. DavidCorbin.com. There's more. We want to learn a little bit more from him. He's got five fantastic books. Congratulations on your 2020 International Healthcare Design Award. And I want to hear about the rejuvenation station because that sounds awesome. I need one of those. Is that like the Orgasmatron? We'll talk about it on the other side. We're talking with David Corbin. Don't go anywhere, David. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And my guest right now, David Corbin, DavidCorbin.com. He's an author. He's a best-selling author. Preventing Brand Slaughter and Point Count. From Image to Influencer, his two latest books on the best-selling list for Wall Street. David, where do we go? I want to just throw it back to you because you know where we are in our country today, and people need help. They need clarity. They need something. And you're one of those guys that I like to just put on the air and say, go.
So my businesses are flourishing right now, and I'm not saying there's a need in here, but what I am saying is take some of these ideas, and yours could as well. You know, you talk about disruption. In fact, it's even on your intro. Disruptors really kick butt. I suggest that we disrupt ourselves. We disrupt ourselves. Now, how do we do that? Again, try to chill and get centered. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you're an entrepreneur listening to me, I want you to know something. I'm a brother. And I believe the entrepreneurs are going to take back this great country financially, economically. I believe the entrepreneur always has and always will. So I'm talking to you. Please hear me now. And I want you to write this down. Listen to the voices. What? Listen to the voices, not the voices in your head going, oh, man, we are up a creek without a fountain. No. Listen to the voice of your business. Now, hear me out. This is not just because I'm a 60s Woodstock guy. I was at Woodstock, and I did pick up some interesting ideas. And this is sort of one of them. Listen to the voice of your business. If your business had a voice, it would say, hey, this is what needs to be done in general in our business before, during, and after pandemic. What are the core components of your business? It's going to say, well, you need to do strategic planning. You also need to do financial planning. You need to do sales. You need to do marketing. You need to do digital asset development. You need to do all these things. Now, you put every one of those on a spoke on a wheel. So on one spoke, it says finance. On the other spoke, it says strategic planning. And at the hub of the spoke, and then there's the perimeter of the spoke. At the hub of the spoke is zero. At the perimeter of the spoke is 10. 10 on that spoke, if you give yourself a 10 on that, you know, you get naked with yourself, you get real serious, and you're going to rate yourself on these spokes. 10 means mastery. I got that nailed, baby. Zero is you suck. You got work to do. And I say, go ahead, get naked with of the ego. Be centered. Be honest with yourself. You've listened to your business. Your business is saying, this needs to be done in my business. And you start rating yourself right now as to your ability to deliver excellence. Zero is you suck. 10 is your master. Now, where you're 7, 8, or 9, that's wonderful. You give yourself a pat on the back. But when you're 2, 3, or 4, you get ready. And you get to work. And you say, okay, I'm a 4. I'm going to become a 7. And I'm going to close that gap. I call it PGA. It has nothing to do with Tiger Woods. PGA. It's performance gap analysis. Analyze what is needed from you. Analyze your ability to deliver. That's the do wheel, what needs to be done. Then the B wheel is, who do I need to be to pull all that off? And you make a wheel with spokes. And you get to closing the gaps. And when you do, oh my God, when you start closing those gaps, it goes up. And your self-esteem goes up, your competence goes up, which makes your self-esteem go up, which makes your confidence go up, and you're doing the incy-dincy spider up the water spout to progression, positive achievement, satisfaction, and peace of mind, as opposed to incy-dincy spider going down the rabbit hole. So I say when you do PGA, I promise you, you'll invoke the law of control, which says we feel good about ourselves to the extent we are in control of our destiny to the extent that we can be. The rest, we look up and we go, yo, help me out up there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I think these are important words. I want to take a break, give you one more segment. Disrupt yourself. I think that, David, you need to go online real quick and buy that URL. That's a great word for a book. Great name for a book. Listen to the voices .. in or of your business, because your voice will tell you, your business will tell you the truth. It does have a voice. Then he says, get naked with yourself. Get real. Stop lying to yourself. Listen to these voices that your business is trying to tell you. Let's take a break. There's a little bit more on the other side here. One more segment with David Corbin. David Corbin, CORBIN.com. 5 books, 5. Any one of them will change your life. We'll be right back. Need a mentor? One-on-one online sessions with Entrepreneur Magazine's experts can help you start a business, grow your business, build your brand, fundraise, and more. Book your one-on-one session with experienced business owners and media experts. Jason Pfeiffer, editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine, can help you perfect your business pitch to media. Businesswoman Kathleen Griffith, founder of Grace & Company, can help improve your growth and marketing strategies. Need guidance on improving your leadership skills? Elizabeth Gore, president of Alice, can help you become a strong, value-driven leader. So what are you waiting for? Book your one-on-one session with Entrepreneur's lineup of experts today. Visit entrepreneur.com/mentors. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/mentors.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And my guest, David Corbin, on the line, brilliant author of a number of books, some best-selling books, his latest two, Point Count, From Image to Influence, and the second one, Preventing Brand Slaughter. My favorite, I have to admit, I have not read all your books because you have 5, but Illuminate, Harnessing the Positive Power of Negative Thinking. But even just to tell people, this book, Illuminate, changed my life, changed the way I think about things. And so I suggest any one of his books for you. But all I can say is that there's just brilliance in all of them. I had something happen the other day. I got a letter from somebody. I bought a little plaza, David, that has 28 businesses in it. And I've been helping these businesses my best as I can with sage advice from guys like you whenever I see something. And I got a nice little letter from somebody at the Chamber of Commerce the other day thanking me for saving this little plaza because, you know, we breathed a breath of life into it. And so when I get affirmations like that, that I'm going in the right direction, man, it just makes my heart grow like the Grinch. You know, I feel like I've been such a Grinch all my life, and all of a sudden I'm being generous with my time, my energy, and my love. So I don't know how you want to tee off of that, but maybe how do you want to be remembered in business? And I'm starting to feel that because of my friends like you, David.
Well, yeah. I mean, first off, a dear friend of mine, Steve Farber, wrote a great book called Love is Just Damn Good Business.
Yeah.
And it is all about love. All you need is love. Now, that's easy to say. There's a lot of businesses that are having a little bit of a difficult time. So what I ask is, you know, during this interesting time, of which there always are, there seems to be more interesting perhaps than others, is to take that inventory of what you need and where you're at, and then look at how you want to be known. There's intended descriptors. You know, how do you want to be described as? Oh, yeah, that's Alan. He's the guy who. Or that's Dave Corbin. Let me tell you about Dave. There are intended descriptors of you and your brand, and then there are real ones. And I say, you're either building your brand or you're killing your brand. You're either in brand integrity, which is to say that everything you do meets those descriptive adjectives so that you are living in fruition with those descriptions. You're either doing that or you're killing your brand. There's nothing neutral. And when you're killing your brand, you're committing brand slaughter in the first, second, or third degree.
Right.
So in the book, Preventing Brand Slaughter, which the Wall Street Journal list is, you know, not so easily accomplished. People resonate with this. Here's what I teach you. Do an ABI. An ABI, it's an audit of brand integrity. Mm. Write down words which describe your brand. Write down your intended descriptors. Then think, what touch points do I have between my brand and the world, with clients, with prospects, with vendors, with employees, and et cetera. And you take an inventory. Where are you in integrity with your brand? And then where are some of those examples? And here, now you're illuminating. Where are the examples of where you're not? And then you set SBIs, strategic brand initiatives, and you close the gap. You say, okay, what can I do? What might I do? What will I do? What shall I do to be in harmony with the brands? I'm not a hypocrite. I'm not committing brand slaughter. And that's what Preventing Brand Slaughter is about. Mm. And my latest book, which is a sequel, which I'm almost done with, is called not brand slaughter. It's called Involuntary Brand Slaughter. That's when our brand gets destroyed by things happening on us, like this pandemic, like riots and the like.
Yeah.
Still, you need to prepare for it. And you need to take inventory. What could, might, should I do? How am I doing? Close the gaps. It gives you peace of mind.
Mm. By the way, everybody, David has a gift. If you want to text to him, David, I'm going to let you do it.
Yeah. So if you text Entrepreneurs, I love you. I'm just going to say that. There it is. I said it. Entrepreneurs, I love you. When you text to the number, it's not a phone number. You just text to 55678. 55678. You text to that, and then the message, you put DMC2. D stands for David, M stands for Mark, C stands for Corbin. Just do the initials. DMC2. And you'll get a book which talks a little bit about that performance gap analysis, psyched on service, and a workbook I did for either Calvin Klein or the secretary of the VA had me train his people. It's one of those workbooks. I don't know what it is, but you'll get massive value.
Yeah.
Do it, and do it now.
I'm going to write a book, and I got the idea from you. Get naked with yourself. I'm going to get that URL right now. David Corbin, you're the best.
Make sure there's no mirrors nearby. No mirrors.
Make sure you're not on Zoom. Oh, all right. DavidCorbin.com. You can also find him on Instagram, hashtag mentor to mentors. Twitter, @ David M. Corbin. And Facebook, / David M. Corbin. DavidMCorbin.com. I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Thank you, David.
You're welcome. Blessings.
See you guys next week.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.